What's the difference between soulmates and twin flames? I'm trying to figure out which one me and my girl is. I take it this girl is special to you.
Yeah, you could say that.
One question. How often do you guys fight? Oh, Dad, she's the only one that can make me just lose it. But I love her just as intensely. I've never felt like this with anyone before.
Son, I think you got yourself a twin flame.
What? Come on, Dad, what's the difference?
Okay, so a twin flame is two parts of one greater soul that act as spiritual mirrors to help each other go through the process of spiritual awakening. We only have one twin flame in this life. Whereas soulmates can be friends, family, or romantic partners. And you can have multiple. Twin flames are mirror souls with a defined masculine and a defined feminine. They usually connect through shared pain, and they're here to make you learn lessons about yourself to make the greater soul experience a spiritual awakening together. But trust me, it is not easy.
All right, all right. Welcome to the very first episode of Both Sides of the Bed, Season 2.
Season 2, baby.
You heard that right, ladies and gentlemen. Season 2. Woo! We are back and we are better than ever. I promise you. I know we've been gone for a little while.
Multiple times.
Again. For those who've been rocking with us since the beginning, yes, we took another hiatus, but I promise you, it's well worth the wait. So we're going to get into it all. We're going to get into what's been going on the last several months. We're going to get into what does Season 2 look like. We're going to get into all new things as it pertains to BSOTB. So thank you for rocking with us. So let's get right into it. Where the hell we been at again?
It's like 6 months this time again.
It was like four and a half, four too long. But that's not the point. The point is we told y'all we wasn't going to leave again and we left.
Immediately after.
We did. But I think, I know that we were on our journey.
Yeah.
And we were along our process. And in growth and change in your life, it's not always linear. You know what I'm saying? So we had intentions to just be able to keep on showing up on the mics. But we really had to do work. We had to do that
real
ground
work.
Yeah. Like the ground level of work.
Yeah. And it's just, this podcast is amazing as it is for us. It's also a reflection of us. And when we're growing, the podcast is also growing, but maybe it's just growing behind the scenes. And I think we've been doing a lot of behind the scenes growth. Like, I feel like even we haven't been seeing our friends and family like that. It's just been a very much an internal process that we've both been going through together and individually. And that definitely shows.
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of internal growth, and we were wanting to come back and record and wanting to keep it as sexy as it's always been, but realizing there's some unsexy conversations and growth that had to happen. And I think us as perfectionists when it comes to this, as creatives, like we really want this to look visually appealing. We want the content to just be amazing. We want y'all to love it. We want y'all to have fun with it. And we were stuck in figuring out how to do that and also show up authentically where we currently were
like
in the process.
It's, I think that conceptually we were ready. As far as the content, we've been planning stuff out. We've been wanting to shoot stuff, but the energy wasn't there. The energy wasn't sexy.
No.
And trying to, we don't want to fake that. We want to show up honest with ourselves and with you all and be authentic in that space and be like, you know what? Shit's been happening and shit's been rough. And it's also been a really beautiful growth experience. At least I'll speak for myself. I learned so much about myself. And that's a fun part about just that life journey is you're constantly growing and learning. There's no stop. Even when you think you got to some type of pinnacle, there's more. And I felt like in January we got to this spot where we're like, you know what, we're good again. Like, we like each other again and we're ready to do this. And it's not that we started to dislike each other again. It's just that we were just scratching that surface and finally realized like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. Like, it's not that there's something inherently wrong with us, but there's this one problem that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And unless that's fully addressed, then we can't move forward, not just with this podcast, but with this relationship and with our own personal growth journeys.
Yeah. Yeah, on that New Year's episode, I listened back to it the other day, and that was us starting to like each other again and making the decision, okay, let's do the work.
Yeah.
But their work had to be done.
Yeah.
The work had to be done. And it came to a point, like, we would try a few times to get back to recording, but realizing that the pod had to shift.
Yeah.
And we had to grow, and we had to push ourselves to show up on another level and to go even deeper. And I just want to say, I appreciate y'all who have really given us a lot of feedback and let us know that you really find value in us showing up as transparent as we have, because it's been very uncomfortable and vulnerable. I feel like a little naked baby out on stage sometimes. And like, yeah, as I'm editing these, like, yo, we really just said that. And we're really just sharing our lives like this with strangers and allowing all the
opinions,
the thoughts, beautiful ones, the crazy ones, the ridiculous ones, just all of it, you know, be out there. And I feel like we were developing our thing, and just to get to that next level, it's like it requires us to go deeper now. It requires us to show up in those ugly moments so that we can be here for y'all the way that this podcast was intended to be. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, regardless of anything else, the main thing here is that we want to be of actual service to y'all, and we want to bring y'all into our world and our relationship in hopes that it really helps you in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Whether it's just support, whether it's, you know, seeing that other people are going through the same things that you are, whether it's a resource to learn new things, whatever it is, we really want to be of service to y'all. So in this season, we are going to push ourselves to continue to do the work, to dive deeper, and be there for you. So with that being said, yeah, let's dive into episode one of season two.
Episode one, season two.
So, twin flames.
Twin flames.
That's what this episode is all about, twin flames. I don't know if y'all ever heard about twin flames before. I know I surely didn't before, what, 2 months ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Further.
Three
At least
months?
For me. I probably 5.
Well, me. I never heard about this until you brought it up. As far as I knew about any type of soul connections with anybody, it's always been soulmates, you know, as we're all familiar with. But I'll let you open it up since you're the one who invited me into learning about what it is. Tell the people all about twin flames.
Yeah, so I came across twin flames because I've been really studying myself and wanting to get towards like that divine feminine space. And in divine femininity, there's light feminine, there's dark feminine. And I feel like my whole life I've been taught light femininity. That's just being nurturing and loving and soft. And dark femininity is more sexy and passionate and controlling and free at the same time. And it's been such an amazing journey that I've been embarking on with that. So with that, in seeking what colliding those two or combining those two is, the divine feminine. So I was like going on this really big deep dive about that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like interested, like, what's the divine masculine? I know my man is the divine masculine. What does that look like? And that's how I came across twin flames. And twin flames is basically two halves of one soul. It's the divine feminine and the divine masculine. It's those parts of one soul that are split into two different beings. And so basically, let me rephrase that. It's one soul, and there's the divine feminine part of the soul and divine masculine part of the soul. And when they separate and go off into two different human beings, and they are like destined to find each other, to come back to what it is to be that divine being overall, and to combine that divine masculine energy and to combine that divine feminine energy and just be this unstoppable pair. So that's essentially what twin flames is. And when I saw that, it really resonated with me because I knew what journey I needed and wanted to go on spiritually. And I knew about your spiritual journey and where you wanted to go with it, and just the hopes for us and our goals for us. And it just completely resonated with me. Mm-hmm. So when I was so excited. I was like on this high, and I brought it to you, and you were like, okay.
Like, no, it wasn't negative. It sounded good. And honestly, at first here, it's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know that we have a very deep connection, and it's unexplainable at times. And so I was very open to getting with this and seeing if this is what it was, and to learn more about why are we so connected in the way that we are, and why no matter what, it's just so deep It's deeper than anything I've ever experienced with anybody else, nowhere near close. And it's unexplainable. I can't put words to it at times. So when you initially brought it to me, I was very much interested, but I was also very distracted with just a lot of shit going on in my life at the time. Yeah. So you presented it and I was like, oh, okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna get to it. But I didn't take it serious enough to get to it right at that moment. But as you even say, I just want to put it out there for people who may not be most connected to their spiritual selves. Mm-hmm. You know, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, I think that's fine. But I just encourage y'all to keep an open mind, because I know a lot of times things can seem, you know, a little woo-hoo, a little magical, a little too up in the stars and in the clouds. And sometimes people just don't want to resonate with that. But I really encourage you, if you want to understand on a deeper level your connection with your partner or your potential connections with future partners, that you know there's something really deep there, I would encourage you to just keep an open mind and really rock with us and really see what twin flames are all about. Because after really learning this with you, it put so many things together for us. It answered so many questions, and it really helped us to get to a space now where we can get back to the pod and we can record. So please tell.
Here's a definition of a twin flame. A twin flame or twin soul is a person who you feel connected to, not just on a physical and emotional level, but also on a soulful or spiritual level. Twin flames are also our mirrors. If they are reflected back to us, all of our hidden fears and insecurities, but also our true inner beauty and strength reflects back to us. In this way, our twin flame opens the door for tremendous emotional, psychological, and spiritual growth.
Excellent. And shout out to Jay Kaizen, who broke it down so eloquently in the opening. If you didn't check that out, go check that out. And go check out more of his stuff. Amazing content on Instagram. So shout out to Jay Kaizen.
He's a great kid.
But yeah, that appealed to me. That appealed to me because I wanted to dive deep and I wanted to figure out what is going on here. What is going on here? So I really resonated with the deeper soul connection that we had. That because we had all the other tools, we had all the other things, and we knew that we had a soul connection, but we couldn't put the pieces together. And the reason why we couldn't put the pieces together is because we weren't clear on who we were for each other, and that we were twin flames, and that there's work to be done. When you have a twin flame, the end result can be amazing, but there is work to be done in order for you to be able to thrive in the way that you want to thrive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a lot of, it's like hard when you're in love with someone and you're also in like with, like heavy like with someone, but they're triggering you.
Right.
And it's like triggers that like other people don't. Like something you said to me often was like, I don't argue like this with other people. And my thought process was always like, I'm not other people. Like I'm me, I'm your person. So of course you don't argue like that with other people, but it's hard when, you know, like for me, it was like my siblings I grew up with. It's like I had those growing up, you didn't. So I kind of had this idea of how to communicate, like being triggered or just being annoyed by somebody, but it was just very different with you. And I didn't understand it, especially because I felt like I did so much. I did so much personal growth before I met you, and I was very intentional about that, and we'll get into that later. But it was very hard to kind of accept that not only was I being triggered by you, but to really just be open-minded enough to realize that I was triggering you as well. Because nobody wants to look at themselves and be like, I'm the problem. But the biggest part of this whole journey is really being able to look at myself in the mirror and be like, Basira, you're the problem. Like, you're the one who's not allowing yourself to grow enough to be sustainable in this relationship. And that was a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. And it was hard for me to live on that mountain, because I don't ever want to just put blame on you.
Yeah.
That's really important to me. I never, because there's always both of us. We both need to be accountable. And I know there was shit I was doing that didn't help the situation either. And I do know a big part of it was things that you struggled with and your ability to communicate and your ability to just find peace and flow and find your place within our relationship and your role within our relationship.
That's exactly that. My place in this relationship. And it was also so hard for me, just being that the work that I do, like I work with people to have better communication in their relationships, to have better relationships, to have better sex. Like it's my whole life. This is my whole life. I felt like a hypocrite. It's like, how dare I coach somebody in their life and I can't even figure it out for myself? So I think that was like another big block for me to even wake up to that fact. But it was funny enough, it's also through coaching with people. Like it's almost like their mirrors back to me. Like as I coach, sometimes I say things and I'm like, damn, that was kind of smart. But but really, it's just like I had to wake up and take my own advice and be like, okay, what type of woman do I want to be? What type of woman does my man need me to be? And being okay with that. I think that it's also hard. I don't want to say like it's hard as a Black woman, but it's hard as a Black woman sometimes, because there's so much chatter about what it means to be a Black woman. A Black woman who's soft, a Black woman that's strong. It's just like all these other things are put into play when it comes to being in a relationship. And they were very contradictory to the type of dynamic that we also have. So it was a lot. It was a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. But I commend you for swallowing it.
Fucking pray.
I appreciate you for swallowing it and just showing up as messy and uncomfortable and just vulnerable as it was. I think that seeing you continue to show up helped me so much. And knowing you really want this as much as I want this, and just that desire helped push me through. I think like a lot of times we want to be perfect and we want to just have it all the answers and figure it out as quickly as possible. And then when we don't, we quick to dip on our partner because, yeah, oh, they can't figure it out. But without honoring that real desire that they have and that will, like they really want to continue. You don't find that easily. You don't find that easily in a partner where they're like, I want this. I love you. And my love is so deep that I want to continue with this. And not in an unhealthy way. Because there's sometimes people they should have left a long time ago. There absolutely is. But when you know you have all the ingredients and there's just one or two things missing, I feel like it's just heartbreaking that people leave without really allowing the relationship to
flourish.
Because they weren't really willing to do that level of work.
They just weren't ripe enough. And it's also really annoying because a lot of people will find themselves in that, many people, most people find themselves, especially young, when they're younger, find themselves in these situations where they're in love, the passion is there, the love is there, but they didn't do the work. And they think because they have to do work, they think love is easy. This, I love you too. The day is young, but like this shit wasn't easy. This shit isn't easy. And I think that some fairy tale Cinderella stuff has put in our heads that love is supposed to be easy. And if it's not, then, you know, you have to leave. And then they go into the next relationship where there's love and there's passion and they run into the same problems because the common denominator is you.
Right.
It's like you're bringing your same triggers, your same traumas, your same issues into this relationship because you never worked on them.
Right.
And when you're with your, when you found your person who's willing to deal with that with you and grow with that with you, that's when you're able to see the other side of it.
Yeah.
Because even psychologically speaking, we don't really, the, as humans, the time before, let me rephrase this. As humans, the last time we had a chance to really evaluate ourselves and look at ourselves in a deep, deep manner is with our parents. So it's just like, that's who we find home with. That's who we go to when we're seeking questions about the universe, questions about ourselves, whatever it is, we go to our parents. After we leave that nest, there's nobody else that we have that with until we find a partner. So it's kind of like having that same awkward, tumultuous relationship again. So people think that that's what's wrong, but that's really, it's like your partner, I said this to you the other day, your partner's supposed to help you grow.
Right.
It's like you almost, like your partner almost finished raising you.
I mean, I am your daddy, so
you are my daddy.
You had to find your daddy, and then it all came together.
No, but it's so real. We raise each other, and it's not about raising a, and like women, I think women hear that and think, I'm not trying to raise a man. Like, I'm not trying to teach you right from wrong. It's not about that. It's okay. Your parents should have done that. And once you get to that point and you're trying to elevate, to become a man, to become a woman, like a real, not just age, but to become that divine being that you're supposed to be, there's a raising that has to happen. And that's what the hard part is.
Yeah. And just to clarify, it's not you're still a child and you need someone to help raise you to adulthood, but there are still aspects of your life where you still are younger and you haven't matured because you didn't get the help or you weren't exposed to things or whatever the case is. And I think, yeah, that's the time where being in a real relationship, first you'll see those things, yeah, and then you have that person, if they're the right person for you, to help finish the job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what partnership is, are you willing to help me finish this job?
Right.
And can I help you do the same? And that's where if you're in a relationship and you're just not growing, it's just not for you.
Right. So well, we'll get into it as we go. But just to touch on that real briefly, I think mm-hmm. the main thing that I got out of it and where it helped me grow is to be the leader that I know I'm meant to be, yeah, and how to lead, how to be patient, how to nurture, how to adapt to the styles of leadership that you need, and how to fine tune along the way to make sure that I'm still supporting you in the way that you need, but also still being myself and doing what I know is best for you at the same time.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was realizing, yes, you are that support for me. You are like, you help ground me, but that doesn't mean that I don't have something. I need myself to tether myself to the earth. I don't need you in that. I shouldn't need you in that way. I want you in that way, but to, like, without you, I'm just, you know, this useless piece of fabric flowing in the wind. Yeah. It's like, that's what, like, an analogy I use with my clients is a strong man is like a flagpole. It's like they help tether you to the earth. They ground you and they guide you. And you get to be the flag. Like, you allow me to be a flag that just, like, blows in the wind, goes wherever my emotions or my cycle is carrying me. But it's like I'm always tethered.
I like that.
But if you look into the details of it, like, what keeps me together, it's the fabrics that's making that piece of, it's the threads that's making that piece of fabric. And all of that recipe is necessary in order for us to grow, in order for us to really realize our true potential in ourselves and also in our relationships. But I think that for me, it was really hard to pay attention to the fact that even though you are helping me ground, I still have to support you.
Right.
Like, without me, you're just a pole.
Right.
So realizing where I have to step up and where I have to rise so that you can be that for me, it's like this cycle.
Yeah. The pole's purpose is to hold the flag.
Exactly.
And together we make a beautiful thing to admire and look at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it represents strength and so much.
Yeah, so it was 3 years of unclear learning and all of this yeah, without having this roadmap that we're about to lay out, and not even roadmap, but like clarity, without this clarity that we're about to lay out in terms of what a twin flame was, we just stumbling and bumbling along for the last 3 years trying to put it together. So as much as I know and feel confident we would have figured it out earlier if we had access to this information, I do believe in divine timing, and the perfect time is now. And we're just so grateful that we were able to have this as our roadmap, and we had to share this with y'all as we move forward into this new season and into a new series. Because as much as we love all the sexy, and believe me, we love the sexy, there's no way that you can truly connect with your partner at the highest levels of sexual empowerment and, yeah, and fulfillment without real connection. And so over the next few episodes, we're going to specifically focus on deepening your connection with yourself, connection with your partner. And through that, I guarantee the sex is going to be crazy. And we're going to bring the sex too. Don't you worry about that. But we have to take this time over the next few episodes to really get into the connection component. So with that being said, let's go further into now the 8 stages, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, into the 8 stages of twin flames.
A twin flame is all about the divine and divine masculine, divine feminine coming together, and it's your soul's mirroring. We talked about that already. There's no escaping your twin flame, even across multiple lifetimes. So it's like you're always gonna find your way together. So it's either you find your way and you're fully fulfilled and it's like, okay, we're working in harmony, or we're just gonna fight the whole way and we're just gonna hate each other, leave, come back, continue to hate each other, leave, come back, continue to hate each other, but like loving all of it at the same time. So it's all about finding that balance. It's not always received openly or even acknowledged by the two parties on a conscious level. There's usually a lot of arguments, and behind those arguments there's passion, there's truthfulness, and there's no manipulation. Like, there's a lot of times where people argue where they're trying to gaslight you, they're trying to control the situation or make it seem, put all the blame on you. With these types of arguments between these two parties, there isn't that. There's a lot of passion, so they're heated, they're heavy, they're hot, but there's truth behind it, there's meaning behind it, and the purpose is to grow. And I think that with you and I, we've had many a heated conversation and
argument. Call them arguments. Conversations would be gentle.
I didn't say conversation, Tom. We had many a heated argument, and but through it, there was truth. We never lied. We never tried to manipulate one another. It was either trying to see truth or just, for whatever reason, having our eyes closed and not being able to connect in that way.
And we did always argue with purpose, hoping that to find a solution, trying to get our points across for a solution.
Yeah.
Whether we executed excellently, not always, but that intention was there. It was it was never to hurt you in anything I've ever said to you, ever.
And I think that, like, just growing up, like, I love my siblings, especially if you're watching this, like, you know I love you, but we had many a argument, and when you're arguing with your siblings, especially when you're younger or you're older or whatever it is, like, when you're older, you're kind of just mimicking what you did when you're younger, and it was a lot of manipulation, and it was a lot of, like, telling on somebody or manipulating this or blaming somebody for that, so it took a minute to, like, get out of those habits, and, like, being annoyed with myself, like, I'm a grown woman. Why am I still acting like the baby sister of the family? But I was the baby sister of the family. So it's like those experiences really did impact me. And having to acknowledge that was just a hit on the ego.
But let's touch on that a little bit, as much as you're comfortable with sharing that, because that is one of the biggest issues had. But that's one of the biggest issues that we've had in terms of our problems surrounded around communication, not our ability to talk about things. We could talk about all kinds of things, uncomfortable things, whatever, and push ourselves in that way. But it was how we spoke, how the communication happened, how harshly or how gentle or how kind or how mean that it happened.
Yeah.
And your intention can be beautiful, but if your delivery is shit,
sassy
is even nice. I gotta be honest,
bitchy.
Yes. Straight up bitchy sometimes. And I just want to talk about this for a hot second, because I want to point out how your childhood can really dictate what happens in your relationships as an adult. And I learned so much from going through these experiences with you and seeing how you interact with your siblings and you telling me stories of your upbringing through that. So I just want you to just share a little bit about that part.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like, when I look back at my childhood, I love my childhood. I had an amazing childhood, but I also had a lot of loss very early. My siblings had a lot of loss very early. Like, my father passed away when I was 10. My mom passed away when I was 19. So it was a lot of growing up that we had to do too quickly. And I think our coping mechanisms, no, I don't think, I know our coping mechanisms were shit. And in that, we used each other as kind of punching bags, as much as we used each other as support. And it would be the little things of, I'm angry about this tiny little thing. It could be that I just spill my mimosa over, but I'm going to express that anger and I'm going to acknowledge it and I'm going to sit in it and everybody's going to sit in it with me, or I'm just going to stomp off to my room and just be in there until I cool down. And then when I'm done and I'm cooled down, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to acknowledge it. We're just going to be like, oh, okay, everything's great again. And then we're laughing, like the biggest laughs, just having fun again. And it was just like the cycle of that, but everybody took their turn of just like running off to their room. And again, my family is very, very close, very, very loving, but I think those habits just embedded into me, and like really having to realize that how many habits that I have adapted that actually aren't me, like that are not things that feel right to me, that come naturally to me, but are things that like I've witnessed people do in my life, or I witnessed people not do and think, okay, this is just how it is. So when it came to you, I just didn't really understand why you weren't getting with the program. It's just like, this is what happens. It's like, you just kind of get mad, you cool off, and you come back. But that's just not proper communication skills. And it's been even difficult navigating that with my siblings as well. Like, I had a really big disagreement with my brother a few years ago, and it was big. It was actually the only time I've ever had a disagreement with him, and we still have not talked about it in detail. We acknowledged, like, that wasn't okay. Let me know when you're ready to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But it still hasn't happened, and I don't think it's for any other reason than we're just not used to talking. And those habits definitely, I can't even say spilled, but like poured into this relationship and how I interacted with you, just not knowing any different.
Yeah. And on the flip side, in my childhood, there wasn't a lot of arguments or disagreements at all. We would avoid conflict. Everyone is pretty calm in my family. My father was the most hyped one. And if there was any...
That says a lot.
Yeah. But if there was any arguments or just any friction, it would probably stem from him and his disapproval with something, or him just not liking something. It would typically stem with him. But overall, we were all chill. We all kind of just talked it out or go with the flow, or just things aren't issues. Why would we stress over this? It was ease in my house in that way. Or we just wouldn't deal with it. Maybe there was something that we probably should have talked about, but we just didn't deal with it. So conflict in my house is not something I was ever used to. So you combine those two different sides of it, and you bringing that to me, I'm like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with you? It was just like, why are you talking to me like this? Why are you talking to me like this? And I could not understand it. I could not get it at all. And in the midst of that, we're trying to establish a DS dynamic. So I'm trying to establish respect and fucking...
I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry.
No, I get it. But it's funny, though. Yeah. When we think about it, but we're trying to establish that. So I'm trying to establish my place in this and get the respect that I know I deserve.
And realizing I just don't know how to respect people when I'm angry.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it's me. I'm thinking I'm not deserving of... I'm not exuding enough of something. So where she realizes I'm not fucking around and I need my respect, why can't she get it? So I internalize that.
I don't mean to laugh. It's so laughable looking back at it.
But I really internalized, like, yo, what is wrong with me? I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I'm communicating. You knew it. Every time I felt like you were disrespectful, I would check it immediately, or I would bring it to you immediately. Like, yo, this is not acceptable. And it just seemed like no matter how many conversations, no matter how nice, no matter how patient, no matter how many different ways we tried to talk about it, nothing would change more than like a day. And it got to the point where I just started checking out. And I know you felt it. I started disconnecting. That's when we stopped liking each other. That's when I stopped liking you first, and you felt that, and I wasn't giving you reasons to like me. So we just floated on through 2021 into 2022.
Yeah.
Thank God the sex is fucking phenomenal, or we might not have made it. Through those roughest of rough parts, we might not have made it.
Sex is great. But it's a lot. It was a lot, not realizing. I think I only just realized how many, like I was just talking about those habits. And when you're arguing, especially if you've been having this style of arguing or not acknowledging something for so many years, there's a level of unlearning that has to happen. And it took me a minute to realize that, like, because I would think back to my responses to you when we would have these little things, or you bring something up to me, and I would like logically be like, that's not okay. Like, I don't know why I did that. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it, and I really didn't. But it was just this habitual behavior that I had to break. And habits are hard to break. That's why they say it takes 28 days or whatever to break a habit. But when these habits only come up when you're arguing or when you're having these hard conversations or, you know, these arguments, it's only in those moments that you can break them. But there's few and far between. It's hard to, you know, work on this little habit that you're trying to unlearn. So it was just, it took a minute for me to, one, realize what I'm actually doing, then pay attention to like the tells of like, okay, I feel myself, like my leg is shaking or like I'm getting hot. Like I feel like I feel the attitude about to turn on.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's here. But like even having to pay attention to like what those signs are within myself. So when you tell me, I can sit here and say, you know what? I actually did do that and I remember doing it and I did it anyway. Hard pill to swallow, but it allowed me to start to pay attention. So over time, not fast enough for you, I will definitely say, but over time, I was able to check myself.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, okay, I feel it happening. Now it's a decision. Am I going to do it because I know it fucking he hates it? Or am I going to stop myself? And sometimes I would do it anyway. Going to be honest. Mm-hmm. And other times, most times, I would not. But it took a minute to like, okay, I can make a decision about like who I want to be in this moment and who I want to be in this relationship.
Yeah. But I get it though. You were doing this for 24 years.
Yeah.
Strong 24 years. We only been together for 3. So I can give you a little grace and it may take a few years to unlearn these behaviors. And I know as being your twin flame, I was specifically put here to be able to help you with this. And it had to be me that had the level of patience and understanding
that you didn't even know you had.
And kindness. Sure did not.
You always said that you were impatient.
I really, really am. But because I saw so much in us, I felt so much in us, not even future us. I saw so much currently happening within us. I'm like, yeah. Yo, why the fuck? We need to figure this out. It's so much beauty around us. We have to figure this out. It rarely ever felt like, I don't think this can work. Only at its worst for like a millisecond where I was like, yo, I don't think this can work.
Yeah.
Because it does come a certain point where it's like, yo, it just needs to happen. You got to make a decision. And I do think in people's relationships in general, if you are dealing with challenges over and over and over again, and you've identified them and you're clear on what these challenges are and you're working through them, there does come a point in the struggle where you got to make a decision like, yo, I am going to change and it's going to happen now because I'm powerful and I can fucking handle it.
Yeah.
And you have to get there. It can't be, well, I'm work. No. At a certain point, you got to just do it.
Yeah.
And I've seen you make that decision and that shift in such a beautiful way relatively recently, but it's on such a level where I know it's stuck now.
Yeah.
It's stuck. I see you when you, like, even sometimes when you wanna and you'll just stop me like, yep, yes, daddy, exactly. No problem. But I can tell you genuinely want to do it for the sake of yourself first. Mm-hmm. And then letting that go, then for me,
yeah,
and then for us. I think in that order.
And that order is the recipe. Like, because I was doing it out of order. I was doing it for you, then for us, and then for me. And what ended up happening over these 3 years is I just put myself on the back burner. And it's just like, okay, well, I have to be a sub, and then a fiance, and then a stepmom, and then a this, and then a sister, and then I could be Basira. And then I finally got to the point where I was just like, okay, respectfully, fuck all y'all. Like, who am I? Like, who do I want to be? What do I want to be? And how do I want to present in this world? How do I want to experience this world? And once I made that decision, a lot of stuff has become a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
Of just like, you know what? This is me. Like, forget all the childhood stuff and all the habits I created. Like, who am I actually? How do I want to present in the world? How do I want to feel when I'm doing these things? And I realize in those arguments, I don't ever feel good.
Yeah.
And I'm in the business. I just want to feel good all of the time.
Same. And I remember we had one conversation and somewhere in it, you were explaining all the things you were trying to do to make me feel good and get my needs met and all the things you were doing in my world to help make my life easier. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, just you're trying to pour so much into me and failing at it, not because you're not capable, but because you're not clear as to what my needs really are and what you're capable of doing right now. So there was a failing happening. And because you're not feeding yourself first, there's no way that you can help me until you help yourself first. And that's when I was like, no, fuck me. Like, do what you need to do for yourself first. I can handle these things. You got to focus on yourself first.
And it's hard, like, hearing your partner say that they don't need you. So it's like, if I completely remove myself, then I have to face the truth of, you actually don't need me. So, like, what I bring to the table, it's like, if you're actually able to do those things, if you're able to set the table yourself, then it's like, what am I for? But I'm for a lot of things.
I mean, I can set a nice little, you know, table at the crib, but if I want the grand long table with all the fancy candles and placings and all that, I need you for that.
Absolutely you do, and I need you for that as well. And it's hard in the moment to swallow that and just say, okay, like, if I just went away for a month, what does his life look like without me? Will he enjoy his life more without me if I just really focused on me? But also realizing he doesn't like me like this. I'm burnt out. I'm tired. I'm not full. So, like, this isn't the me that he fell in love with. I'm bamboozling this man right now, trying to pretend and failing at the pretending. So that was hard to hear, but it was so freeing when you said that to me, where I was just like, okay, like, let me not, because it was just so much even in my daily life that I would do at my place where you're not even aware of it that I would do for you. Like, let me do this because he would want me to do that, or let me do this because I know he would like to hear that I did this at the end of the day. And it was just rough. And then, so then I had this phase of, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. But what I wanted to do was nothing. I wanted to just sit in my bed, like, eat some ice cream and just binge watch whatever. So then I did that.
There was a stage of that.
There was a strong stage of that. And sometimes I wouldn't tell you about it. Sometimes I would. Sometimes I would lie. But it was necessary for me to just figure out, what do I really want to do? Because I realized, even before you, before being a sub or before being a fiance or a girlfriend, it was like, I was a daughter. I was a sister. It was like, I was for everyone else in my life. And I never was fully present with being myself. So when you gave that to me, it was like the first time I had to sit and be like, whoa, like, what do I want to do?
So what did that look like for you when you first started to focus on yourself?
It really allowed me space to look at myself and look at where I wanted to grow and really evaluate my flaws, but really look at them like as if like looking yourself in a mirror in a way, like, oh, this is the shit I do. And being okay with that and sitting with it and then not being okay with it and deciding these are the ways that I want to change. And in that's when I really started to get into the divine feminine energy stuff, the dark femininity stuff that I was telling you about earlier. And that's what brought me to Twin Flames and really realizing how much growth it's going to take for me to be in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And to me to fully arrive in this relationship in the way that you needed, but more importantly, I needed in order to grow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just helped me want to be a better woman for myself and then for you and then for Jess. And I think it's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful too.
Yeah, I do. But it's also hard. Like, you know, with the twin flame journey, it's a lot of drama. It's a lot of drama. It's really intentional. And we're going to get into that in a second. But it's like really intentional turmoil that you have to experience in order to come out on the other side. It's purposeful. It's like,
unavoidable.
It's unavoidable. That's the word.
Because the the greatness that lies on the other side of this is so profound. You have to go through some shit. It's like, yeah. It's like shaping that diamond. Diamonds start as coal, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you gotta shape that shit. It has to go through such a process.
The pressure. Yeah, the pressure. To even get to that process.
To get to this beautiful diamond at the end. But you get that beautiful diamond at the end. It's the exact same thing for those who can survive it. Because it's not nice. It's not pretty. It's not easy. And
it's not for the faint of heart.
No, because it forces you to look at yourself. That was the most powerful part of this. And we've been teasing that, and we're about to get into it, I promise you. But that was the biggest part for me, is that it was less about you, it was less about us, but it was so much about me. And by me doing the work that I needed to do, that it highlighted for me, I was able to come to a place where I could love you even better in the way that you needed to be loved.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, we've been teasing at this for long enough. So now let's get into the 8 stages of a twin flame and really, really dive into what it's all about.
So the first stage is the yearning. Yearning is the signal from your higher self that something is missing. It's that you feel like kind of like this magnetic pull that like, okay, I know something's missing. I don't know quite what it is. Usually we're assuming it's another partner. So it's like that yearning that your partner is kind of wanting you to, even if you're not conscious about it. Because I don't think you were conscious. I don't think you were looking for me. I was looking for you.
I wasn't looking for you, but I was looking for something. If that makes sense.
You're looking for pussy.
No, that just was the okay. Byproduct. I was... But that
I know
was,
you were. I know you were.
But that was the in-between time. I knew, like, that was on the surface because I just got out of a real shitty relationship. So on the surface, that was a great way for me to detach from that.
Yeah.
And just enjoy being single again. But under all of that, every time, even the first person I ever started really engaging with on any consistent level, I was still in my mind like can this be something here? Can this turn into something? So I was always searching for something. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew I wanted something meaningful, and I knew that my soul was calling for something of value, and I didn't want to just be out here in these streets forever. Like that was very clear to me. So all of these little situations that I came across were a means to an end, in a sense. But I felt it, but I didn't know yet what that was.
It's funny. It was very opposite. I was manifesting it, and it was very much. I felt this desire to connect with someone, and I was very opposite you. I've never been in a relationship at that point, so I knew I wanted one and I was preparing for it. I was like, okay, who do I need to be? And not necessarily like, what does a man want, but who do I need to be to be in a relationship? And to that point, I did all of the healing that I could do on my own in order to be capable of being in a relationship. And I feel like that's a lot of people's faults, where they desire to be in a relationship, but they don't make space for them. Like, I made space. I made physical space for you to arrive. Like, okay, I had a nightstand on, like, my right side of the bed, because that's where I slept, but, like, there's a left side. Like, maybe I should put a little table there in case he does come so he can put his phone down. You know what I mean? It's just, like, little things like that. I was very intentional about making space for you. So that yearning stage was very, very, very deep for me. The next one is the meeting. So it's when you first meet, you feel like you've met before. It feels like being at home, and when you quickly start falling in love, in deep love.
Yeah, that was definitely the case. It's so interesting because we met online, and like I've told you a bunch of times, the person who I thought you were from your photos and your bio, she was cool. She was cool. We had a nice time. Yeah. But she wasn't you. So I was pleasantly surprised when we started having conversations, you know, just the kind of mind that you had in there was just, you know, really turning me on in a way that I didn't know would. And then when we met in person and then energetic, because I couldn't really feel your energy all the way until we met, obviously. Mm-hmm. But immediately, even before we first spoke words to each other, just in approaching you and you just looking at whatever you was reading on the wall or whatever at the jazz club we met at, and you turned around and looked at me, and just instantly, it was just like home. It really was. And it was like, I knew you. I feel like I really did feel like I knew you before, and we were picking up where we left off. It wasn't like that awkward feel out stage. It was like you immediately grabbed my arm and we were just in lockstep with each other, and it just was flowing immediately.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it was like for me too. Like, even before we met, like, we met online, and I remember, I think I have your photo saved actually. I remember the first photo where I saw you, I was just like, that smile is crazy. Like, I need to have that smile in my life for the rest of my life. And I remember, like, talking to my sister, I think I said this before, about, like, how I showed the pictures. And she was like, oh, this is brother-in-law. I'm like, yo, I think this is brother-in-law. But, like, immediately I felt like, I'm going to marry this man. And this is before we had a conversation.
Any conversation.
I think this is, like, you sent me a message and I was just looking at your photos. Mm. But I was just like, yes. Whatever it is, yes. So that was like the initial, but meeting, I felt so safe immediately. I felt at home. I felt secure. I felt like no matter what was about to happen, you were going to protect me. And I've never felt that feeling before. I've only felt that with one of my 9 brothers. Mm. And it was a really secure feeling to have.
So would you say that was your spirit letting you know that it was all good, and you kind of following that?
Oh, 1,000%. Mm. And I always joke about like our journey to your place. Like, there was never a question. You never asked me to go to your place. I never asked to go to your place. It was just like, oh, we're going to his place. And it was just like that acceptance and that security of, I know he's going to lead me. So wherever it's going to be led, it's okay.
Yeah, we were in such flow. I didn't realize I didn't say anything. Like, you know, I do like to assume the next move when I know this is the move we want to go in. This is advanced levels of game, people. You know, fellas, don't just be out here just assuming you're going to take a lady home. But
absolutely not.
You know, you got to read the room. You got to read the situation. But it was just like, of course, why would we stop the night right now? We just getting started. Like, I want to spend the rest of this night with you. Absolutely.
And I was like, I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
I wasn't there yet.
I was there. I was fucking there. I was pulling out all the stops.
I knew I wanted something, though. I knew I wanted something. I was like, I like this right here. Yeah. And then, even after the sex, after the sex, I was on the same page. I'm like, nah, I need to lock this in right here. we need to punch this ticket. I need to lock this in right here. Let's explore what this could really be.
Yeah.
And then that's how we got into our dynamic so quickly.
Too quickly,
but
quickly enough.
It got us where we are now.
I wouldn't change it.
As many mistakes as we made, I
would never change it.
No, it was so exciting. It was exhilarating, and it was inspiring.
Yeah.
It was inspiring. I've never been that inspired to want to show up in a relationship before.
Me too.
Yeah, and just give my all to it. And we were just immersed because we got together, 3 weeks before COVID?
We met in January. COVID happened March.
Okay, so we got about 6 weeks.
We, like, made it official, like, 4 weeks. Maybe 3.
That was so out of character. That official? Official meaning, like, all right, you know.
I love you 3 weeks in.
Locked. And I'm a grown-ass man, y'all. Me sitting out here saying I love you in 3 weeks? I am not in high school no more. What the fuck? I was, like, checking myself, like, yo, you really saying this right now? But I could not stop my mouth from fixing to say the words. It was like, I feel this though. Absolutely. I just knew it.
Immediately.
I knew it.
And I said it before in sex. And it was just like my body knew. My brain knew too, but it's just like she was late to the party. Mm. So it was like in my body, in my feeling body, it was just like, okay, we're here. This is what this is. But I couldn't admit it to myself. Like logically, I'm like, girl, it's been a week. Like, what are you doing? This is the third time y'all have had intercourse. What are you doing? So it took a minute to just be like, no, but actually, I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
I really love you and I really feel safe with you. But that meeting phase of the twin flame cycle was deep.
It was so magnetic. It was crazy.
It was so magnetic. And that takes you to the falling, which is everything we just explained, which is immediate and effortless. That's all the notes I have for it is immediate and effortless. And
the falling stage is
the falling. The falling is all about falling in love. It's about being immersed in that falling, immersed in the love and allowing it to be effortless and honest and natural. Right. And I think that's exactly what it was. It wasn't us trying to pretend. It wasn't us. And we both took a moment because I know I said it during sex and that was a cop out because it's just like you could say anything during sex. Mm. But even for you, it's like I know you heard me and I know your logical brain was like, oh, she's just saying it because it's sex. But your subconscious brain was probably like, wait.
What did I say?
I don't think you responded. I don't think you said anything.
Cause I'm like,
you played it cool.
I don't know if I'm gonna jump out the window that quick. You played it mad cool. In the middle of sex.
Yeah.
I didn't know I didn't say I couldn't. I couldn't. You didn't. I wouldn't. Yeah. Though the feelings was there, but it's like this is. I mean, this is so soon. I need at least.
It was ridiculous.
Couple weeks. Yeah, we fell hard and heavy.
It was like. You know how, like, you see, like, in music videos of people, like, falling, like, off a building or, I don't know, just falling. And it's just, like, this, like, magical, like, it's this long, flowy fall. No. We said wherever we were at the top, down to the ground. It was such a hectic fall that was just so beautiful and peaceful but fast. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I love it. And I feel like I still feel that way.
Yeah.
Fully. I still feel that way.
Yeah.
So the next phase is the fairy tale stage. It's also like known as like rose tinted glasses. It's where you feel fully obsessed and you're not able to really see flaws because it's a fairy tale. It's like, no, this person's perfect. That's not a red flag or this didn't really happen or they didn't mean it that way. Everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think that phase, I was fully obsessed. And I remember using that exact word to you. And you were like, I don't know about obsessed. And yeah. I'm like, no, I'm obsessed with you. I am fully aware and fully content with being obsessed with you.
Now, you felt that. I will say the rose-tinted glasses stage, you felt that much more than I did.
Yeah.
Because when you use that word, I remember we were... That was like I think that was our first shroom trip.
Yeah,
and it was. That was crazy.
Get into that later.
We'll get into that later. That was very eye-opening.
Yeah.
But I remember towards the end of it, during the come down, you were like, you know, I'm. This is like obsessive. You used another word also, but it was just, yeah, just obsessive, immersive. Love. And I was like, that seems like a lot. You know what I'm saying? Can we breathe a little bit with this love? I love you, but god damn, like I, you know, obsessive. I don't know if I want to be obsessively in love. And it threw me, but you were dead ass serious.
I was dead ass. I'm still dead ass serious. I'm obsessed. I am obsessed with this man happily. I love you.
I will say I'm obsessed in a calmer way. I have to be obsessed.
Yeah.
Put up with your shit. But that was when things, started. We were really locking in. Because, I mean, 4 months before I proposed. It's only like 4 months.
July.
March, April, May. 5 months max.
Yeah.
The fuck am I doing proposing at that time? And I honestly wanted to do it earlier. It just would have been absurd to do it earlier. But I would have loved to. I felt those same feelings. I just had to wait. Yeah, but just like I gotta wait.
You know? I was like, what is he waiting for? Finally.
It wasn't even long at all. But so, yeah, in my own way, too. Yes, yeah. I felt obsessed. But I will say that, you know, you want to be cautious because those feelings can be so intense. They can easily lead you to making stupid ass mistakes and just decisions when you allow your obsession and this good feeling of this love to overtake proper judgment.
Yeah.
And that's what we were doing. Absolutely. And we didn't have life to get in the way because it was COVID. There was no life.
It was the perfect delusion.
Life has paused.
Talk about the fairy tale.
Life has completely paused. All we can do right now is immerse ourselves even deeper in this puddle of beautiful love. And we don't ever have to get out. We can do it again tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And that is when, not dangerous, that's a strong word, but that is where the trouble started, I would say.
And it was as chaotic as it was so beautiful.
It was.
Because how many people can say that they could just fully immerse themselves for weeks at a time of just being in love with the person they're in love with?
Without distraction.
Without distractions, without having to go to work, without having to go to school, whatever it is. It's just, my job is just to learn you. To learn you and to love you and to grow to be better for you. And that was a beautiful thing. And I will never regret that time. And it just, it scattered our foundation.
It did. But that's how I knew I loved you also. Because I never got sick of you. Seeing you every goddamn day for months. 4 months. This is in the thick of George Floyd, fucking Trump.
Yeah.
All those goddamn fireworks.
So many fireworks in New York. So many
fireworks. And just, through all of that stuff, I just never got tired of you. I just wanted more.
Yeah.
Just wanted more. So caution yourself, people. You got to still pace yourself because it is wildly intense. When you find your twin flame, it is hot.
It's hot and heavy. And before we go further, I just want to touch on, there's a difference between a twin flame and, we talked about soulmates, and soulmates are, I think we talked about soulmates, I'll touch on it now. Soulmates are two energies that are cut from the same cloth. So a soulmate can be your sister, it could be your friend, it could be just somebody that's not necessarily your person. And it's very different from a twin flame because though y'all are cut from the same energetic cloth, a twin flame is, it's y'all are the same soul split into two.
Yeah.
So it's just a little deeper. But twin flames can also be very confused with trauma bonds or karmic bonds. So karmic bonds are two energies that are kind of sent to you so that they can teach you a deeper lesson. And that lesson is usually hard. It is usually intense and very fleeting. Now, trauma bonds are, you're bonded and in love with each other based on trauma, based on something that's not, I don't want to say real, but that's not really serving your highest self.
A relatable trauma that you both experienced together.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the other one is, what is it? Love bombing. Love bombing is, love bombers are dangerous, but it's really like tricking. It's all about manipulation there. It's about tricking someone into thinking like, oh, I love this person. Oh, I need this person. They desire me. They need me. And then kind of just ghosting. And you think because there's that turmoil phase, like, oh, maybe this is my twin flame, but that is actually just turmoil leave. Mm-hmm. So just like being able to identify those things is really necessary. So I just wanted to touch on that before we go into the next phase, which is the turmoil phase.
Turmoil.
The turmoil phase is the most challenging phase. The turmoil phase is the most challenging phase of the eight stages. And it's because it's the most key stage. It's what's really showing you, like, this is who this person is. Like, this is what you're getting into. But also, this is what you need for you both to get to that next level of growth. As the spark of your new love wears off, egos begin to rise up. And in this stage, any insecurities, fears, traumas, and those shadow selves start to become more apparent and they start to show up. And that's what we were talking about earlier about like my childhood stuff coming up and becoming an issue in our everyday lives.
Yeah. But it's so interesting as you read that description. While you were going through the rose-tinted glasses phase, I was going through the turmoil phase.
Mm, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either until just now.
Oh, wow.
And it happened for, you know, it happened for me early. The same night as we reached our pinnacle of love and made things official on Valentine's Day. I know we corny like that, but yeah, we solidified our love on Valentine's Day and made it official. The same night as that happened, we also were just so immersed in our love and we were just having such a good time together that we shared so much.
Let's be honest. We were on Molly.
We were on Molly.
Let's add that to the mix.
We were
on drugs, fellas. Like, I share that to say like it kind of exasperated how I was sharing and how we were sharing.
Yeah, I guess that is a key point to add.
Key point.
I think I did overly share because I don't even know why I shared what I shared. I would have took that to the grave.
Same. The things I shared with you, I would have took to the grave.
Yeah.
Or at least waited.
Waited.
Should have.
You should have.
I should have.
I think you should have because mm-hmm. I was on such a high. I was on. It's like when the roller coaster is going up and you hear the cranks and the cranks and the cranks. And then you go for the ride. I was just getting it. I'm ready to enjoy the height of it. And as soon as we start going to the height of it, it immediately went straight down to like, I have to grab on and not even prepare, but I have to process the things that you shared. And it's like trying to work on both of those ends of the spectrum at the same time was extremely difficult for me because it was like I can admit my love for you now in this 3 weeks, 4 weeks that we were together. I'm so ready and excited and happy to enjoy that and just have a minute to enjoy that with you and immediately also have to accept things about you that I wasn't ready to accept.
No, I understand that. And it was also like having to see in real time you struggle with that. Like, this is my truth. This is the things that are actually me. And seeing you, who I am so in love with and so obsessed with, struggle with loving my truth.
And I hated that. I knew I wasn't hiding it. I couldn't hide it. It was a lot. It was a lot of pills to swallow.
Yeah.
And that was also a part of it. It wasn't just one big pill to swallow. It was several. It was several.
It was a lot of stuff. And granted, it was also my first drug that I've ever taken that wasn't marijuana. So it was a lot for me to experience this type of high and experience these types of feelings because Molly's also like the love drug.
Yeah.
So it was a big experience for me and not really knowing like, oh, you should shut up right now, girl. Like, I didn't know because I've never known.
Yeah. Even if it was the next day,
yeah,
I could have, though extremely challenging, would never have taken away from that, but I was literally high off our love and high off of Molly and just wanting to just enjoy that, to be smacked in the face with all these other things. It was not even like a lot. It was too much. It was too much. But because I loved you so much also, I wanted to push through. But
hard.
I couldn't push through.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't process that. And I feel like you fucked up my experience.
Yeah.
Not obviously not purposely. And you were just sharing. And I at the same time as annoyed by finding all these things out at one time was, I also genuinely appreciated you sharing, and I seen that you were so excited and you loved me so much. You just wanted to share you with me.
That's
I really genuinely appreciated that. I did. And it was hard. It was hard.
And both those things can be true at the same time. And I think that a lot of people don't realize you have to give grace to people. Like, when you really show them your truth, when you're really transparent and honest, you have to give grace. It's like, not all your truths are pretty. Not all your truths are kind or soft or easy. And that's what makes us human. We're eclectic beings. And I thank you for loving me anyway. And loving me because of, also.
I did. Because
that also had to happen.
Yeah.
But the turmoil, it wasn't just... That wasn't the turmoil. That just kind of set the tone for the turmoil. And that started so soon.
For me, that was a turmoil.
Yeah, it started so soon.
For me, that was the turmoil.
Yeah.
It was inner turmoil. It wasn't turmoil with you. It was, can I accept these truths about this woman that I love? And this is the first time I truly love someone. And I'm finding out things that previous to you, I would have never been able to love somebody for knowing these things. I just know if I would have known these things about someone before I got to love them, I would have never allowed myself to get to the place where I could love them. So it's like, that's clearly a conflict right there. So to experience both of those at the same time was so intense, and it was so challenging for me. So hard. No, it was hard. It was just hard. It was hard. And without going into all of it, because that is definitely for us, I will say just the one thing that I want to touch on, because I really think it can be beneficial for people, especially men, or I hope that it can. The one thing was, and in the turmoil phase, it talks about having to face your own insecurities and your own challenges. And at the time, I didn't realize they were my own insecurities. At the time, I just thought it was how it's supposed to be. So the first main thing was realizing how sexually active you were as me.
Yeah.
How just you were, it wasn't even, okay, you get busy. Like, no, it was like, you might be just as sexually active as me. And you're a woman and you're younger than me. And all these things, all these variables that don't really mean shit, but they do mean shit in the sense of the way I was governing my life and the way that I was judging women and the way that I, in the boxes that I was putting women in and the boxes I was putting men in as the way we do things.
Yeah.
And so to find out that you were basically equally as sexually active as me in the way that I was, in the way that I only saw as acceptable for men to be, that was hard. Because in my inner circle, actively still, I'm hearing from my boy, like, I'm hearing that's not okay. It's like you immediately drop significant levels, and there's so much judgment placed around that. And it wasn't okay. Like, I judged immediately. And it was like, damn, I love her though. Ah, but this though, how am I gonna get over this? How am I gonna accept this? And it hurt. So it hurt. The truth of this can't be washed away. No, she fucks as much as you do. Period. That's it. Can you, and I just couldn't just accept it and move on. Cool. All right. I get it. Cause I'm like this and I'm like this. So why does it hurt so bad that you're like me? I should be able to understand and accept and celebrate your ability to live your sexually liberated self in the way that I do. But there's so much stigma and there's so much shame around women being as sexually free as men. That I couldn't even get there. I couldn't even get behind the why. I couldn't understand the why. I couldn't understand the how. I couldn't understand any of it. I couldn't even get there at all. It just hurt. It hurt. because from a male side, you don't ever want to be that dude who loves a woman who has a lot of bodies. And your body count, that's irrelevant, whatever it actually is, or that's actually irrelevant. But just in my mind, it's just immediate. That's a lot of body. It's a lot. It's just a lot, all of it. And the things that you were doing were things that, again, society would say is a lot for a woman to be doing. Yeah. So in all these things, I just put so much heavy judgment on. I could not shake. And it weighed so heavy. And I was upset with myself more than I wasn't upset with you. Because again, I really admired you for showing up and sharing yourself with me so vulnerably. It was so beautiful at the same time. And then it quickly shifted from me being mad at you, because why the hell am I be mad at you?
Yeah.
To why do I feel like this? Why does this bother me so bad? You didn't do anything wrong. You're doing what I deem as okay in my life. But because you have a vagina, it's wrong? You're okay. You came out unscathed. You're all right. You're healthy. You're happy. You're mentally stable. We're good. You got all your limbs. Everything is cool. So why is this bothering me so much? And then I shifted it from the judgment I had to you to why do I feel like this? And it angered me so bad. Why do I feel like this? Why does it bother me so much? And then I couldn't shake it. So month after month after month's going past. Why do I still feel this? You still with her, so you still love her. You want to accept it, but you can't. And I couldn't. I couldn't for years into it. And it stayed with me. It stayed with me. And it was like this underlying punishing of you over, number one, again, something that was not wrong for you to do. I was just punishing you over and over and over again for that just being your truth. And so when you would do things that weren't okay, I was upset at those things. And I'm upset because you're a fucking hoe in my mind, in the back of my head. Like, that's how I was feeling, though.
Yeah.
It's like, and you're a hoe. But I didn't know that. And I wasn't consciously thinking that way. It's my subconscious. It was all unconscious thing. I never once consciously viewed you in that way, but it was the programming of what is there in society. And I know there's a lot. I know, but I really think that this can help people from hearing that from me. That it's ridiculous. It's so stupid.
Thank you for tuning in to part one of season 2, episode 1, Twin Flames. Join us next week as we pick up the conversation in part 2.